Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
As we continue our discussion around the inauguration of Donald Trump and in fact what this means now to South Africa. We spoke a little bit earlier with Kenneth Mokgale. He wrote an article talking about Ibrahim Rasool as the South African ambassador. How much impact does that have now on the relationship between South Africa and the United States? Well, Stephen Groos is head of African Governance Diplomacy Program at South African Institute of International Affairs. Stephen, a very good morning to you. Thanks for joining. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, Howard. How are you keeping?
I am good, thank you. But it's interesting as we try and contemplate what this all means to South Africa, because South Africa, of course, has been getting a lot closer to rogue nations, the U.S. making it very, very clear that they're in a new direction of a little bit of less tolerance. And we're still sending Ibrahim Rasool there as our ambassador. Help me work this through. Give us your thoughts.
Well, I think South Africa, obviously Rasool has previously been the ambassador to the U.S. Mm. And they're sending somebody that I think will stand up for South Africa and its independent foreign policy, won't really get pushed around. But I think he's also controversial. There's been talk about his links to various Muslim organizations. And so in some ways, it's a red rag to a bull. He's definitely going to be combative. And I think it is a symbol of the difficult relations that we have with the world's only superpower. Sometimes I think South Africa thinks we're a superpower. I've heard Rasool saying we're a moral superpower. I think
Wow.
A lot of
yes.
people would beg to differ with
I'll
that.
Disagree. Yeah.
But relations with the US are quite strained, particularly as you said, as South Africa has drawn closer to the BRICS countries, particularly Russia and China, as well as Iran, and of course South Africa's stance on the conflict in Gaza and the wider Middle East is 180 degrees away from the Trump presidency's view of these things.
So what is this likely to mean? Because South Africa, of course, needs the United States. If I'm not mistaken, they're our largest trading partner, even though we don't seem to take much notice of that. We need them. Whether we want to need them or not, we still do.
Yes, we do. I think they may be the second largest partner after China, but there are long, deep historical trade links with the U.S. Through the African Growth and Opportunity Act, AGOA, that's really benefited our motor manufacturing and our citrus and other fruit exports and wine as well. But, you know, we also heard last night that Trump wants to return manufacturing jobs to America. So us making BMWs and Volkswagens for the American market may come under strain. But on the other hand, the U.S. is definitely going to have to cooperate and collaborate with South Africa, because South Africa is chairing the Group of 20 nations this year, the G20, and has to hand over to the U.S. for 2026. We can probably expect Trump to attend the summit in October or November. So whereas he didn't pay very much attention to South Africa before, I think there will be a little bit more attention to South Africa. But, you know, you would have heard yesterday not a word about Africa in his various speeches that he gave. It's not high on the agenda, but South Africa has served as an irritant to the U.S., you know, looking at our relations with Russia in particular and the stance we've taken on the war in Ukraine.
And in fact, I see that Russia's not even in our top 10 of our trade partners, yet somehow they are elevated in terms of level of importance. The ICJ, of course, can't help either, surely.
No, not at all. The majority of Congress has been very taken aback and horrified by the case at the ICJ. And we're definitely going to see Trump putting pressure on that court and on the various UN organs. I believe he's going to defund UNRWA, the agency that looks after Palestinian refugees. He's going to withdraw funding from that. So he's, you know, in these first hours as president, as he promised, he reversed many of Joe Biden's policies, including he's pulled out again of the Paris Accord on climate change. So we can expect a flurry of legislation and executive orders that do what Trump said he was going to do all along, and that's put America first.
The decision to send Russell to the United States, can, I don't know how it works diplomatically, can the United States object? You know, I was asking our earlier guest, he made some allegations about his link to terror and to funding terror, etc., which you know, are very serious allegations. But the connection to Hamas here in South Africa isn't necessarily one. We might be repulsed by it, but South Africa is yet to declare Hamas a terror organization, which means he is free to associate with Hamas here in South Africa. The United States has declared Hamas a terror organization. So it to me, it's a bit of a confusing, it's a confusing dilemma. What, how's this likely to play out?
I think you asked, you know, whether the U.S. can object to an ambassador. I think it would be highly irregular, and it's, I can't actually recall an instance where a receiving country has rejected the ambassador of another country. So I think that would be quite difficult. I don't think that would be likely. But, you know, South Africa has chosen somebody who they believe will stand up for what we portray as our foreign policy, non-alignment, and so on and so forth. But it could prove tricky. If the U.S. wanted to make an issue of it, They might try and force South Africa's hand to find an alternative. But again, I think it's not the prerogative of the receiving country; it's the prerogative of the sending country. What might be interesting as well is the other way around, because Ambassador Ruben Brigati has resigned, and as most political appointments do when the administration changes. But it took a long time for an ambassador to South Africa from the U.S. to be confirmed. And remember, in the Trump first presidency, that was Lana Marks, an ex-South African millionaire who made handbags and sold very expensive handbags. I don't think was a very good fit. And as she came, COVID struck, so her ability to operate was limited. Some have said that there may be greater priority put on finding and confirming an ambassador to South Africa than it took last time. It took several years, actually, to get her appointed. Because not only is South Africa chairing the G20, but I think the U.S. recognizes that Africa as a whole has a lot of the minerals that are absolutely critical for technological manufacturing, including cell phones and electric vehicles and so on. And that South Africa is still, despite all its problems, seen as a gateway to many of the other African countries where these minerals are. So I think we may feature a little bit more prominently, but we're not going to be a priority of this administration.
Yeah, maybe that's a bit of a blessing. It is 8:44. That was Stephen Groost, head of African Governance and Diplomacy Program at the South African Institute of International Affairs.